Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Deep Dive. I'm joined by Josh Williams today. Go and follow him at Distance Covered on Twitter, on Instagram, TikTok.
Yes, but without any videos.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the case for a while, to be fair, because I can't get my head around it.
No, it's fair. Young whippersnappers, not yeah. people like me and you, mate.
Oh, no, yeah. All these. Every week, mate, you're saying this now.
Right, we're here to talk about the title race and how the race is heating up. We're going to look at the numbers to see how each of the teams are doing. We're going to look at a little bit of a supercomputer forecast to see who's going to win the Premier League. Spoilers, it's not great reading. But we're going to start off, Josh, by looking at the Premier League table. Nice and easy, mainly because it makes for pretty nice reading, to be honest with you, Josh. Liverpool sitting pretty at the top of the Premier League with 54 points. 2 points ahead of Manchester City, unfortunately, have a game in hand. 2 points ahead of Arsenal, who were on the same games as us. I think Manchester City's form is pretty ominous at the moment, with them having won the last five games. Right now, for you, obviously the result against Arsenal was massive, wasn't it? Where are you in terms of feelings? Because 2 weeks ago, I was all in on Liverpool are going to win this Premier League. And then we got beat by Arsenal. I'm like, oh, makes it tough. But it is in our hands. It's also in City's hands.
Yeah, I think the problem I had with Arsenal, it felt like we were well beat by Arsenal, like we were, but like we had so much context around that was lacking. Like, we had no Salah, no Nunes from the start, Trent's first game back, no Szoboszlai, Van Dijk, miles off it for some reason, Alisson, miles off it for some reason. That just doesn't usually happen. So if it feels like when Liverpool have a full squad, not even a full squad, just like, close to our expected 11, mm-hmm. we're really difficult to compete against. And obviously Salah, I've seen him back in training today. I think Szoboszlai's not far off. So hopefully that's going to be the case. I think the issue with City is they're getting players back now, and Arsenal seem to be really good at keeping their key players fit, don't they? So with everyone fit, I do think you can flip a coin almost, but the way it stands now, Liverpool's numbers have suffered a little bit of a drop in the past couple of weeks, but I do think that's down to just personnel, and it's difficult to call at the minute. Like,
well, it is, and our squad has been sort of stretched pretty thin as well. I mean, I know Manchester City have had some big injuries, Kevin De Bruyne not starting until a couple of weeks ago, and Haaland going out and all that type of stuff, but ours were like Alisson and Salah, and they don't need to list all the players that we've had injured, Trent and Robbo and Timokas and everything else that we've had. I mean, it does feel like we've pushed the limits of our squad over the last sort of 6 weeks, and yet we're still top of the league.
Yeah.
Ultimately, which is obviously great news, isn't it? I'm going to take a little look at the form table before we move on, because I think over the last four, we're fourth in the form table. In terms of the last six, we're actually second with just that one loss. In terms of the last eight, we're second, but 5 points behind Manchester City in terms of the last eight. In terms of the last 10, we're top with Manchester City. In terms of the last 12, we're still doing better than everybody. One thing I find quite interesting in terms of this particular form table, actually, is the opposition's point per game. It's almost like a little bit of a thing where you can go, well, actually, I'm going to zoom in on that for everybody because it's a bit mad. Like, But Arsenal have had a really tough one in terms of the opposition. They've garnered a lot of points, 1.5 per game. Liverpool's maybe slightly weaker at 1.26, City 1.34, Tottenham, yada, yada, yada. Manchester United have actually probably had the toughest one in terms of opposition's points per game. I just find it quite fascinating. And if we just shoot back to in terms of the last four, you know, again, Manchester United, really tough opposition in that regard. Liverpool's there or thereabouts with Arsenal and Manchester City, slightly tougher than Arsenal and Manchester City's, but not much. And this has all been, wow, we've had the injury issues as well, of course, but...
I think what we should touch on as well, by the way, is that one loss Liverpool have got in their last six. For me, that's our first proper loss all season, yeah. Really. You know, I don't even count the Spurs game. But that is saying something. Like, maybe we've drawn a fair, you know, a bit more than ideal. We've drawn six compared to Arsenal City. You've both drawn four. But beating Liverpool this season is proving to be very, very difficult. And the one team to have properly done it with 11 players on the pitch was Arsenal, who could very easily win the league. You know, that's the kind of level that you're competing at. It feels like City and Arsenal, unlike Liverpool, are a bit more susceptible to a random defeat. Whereas it seems to take a bit more to defeat Liverpool, because not only do you have to be better in terms of the performance, but Liverpool have to be off it in terms of finishing. And Alisson has to be off it. That kind of all happened at once at Arsenal. But for them all to happen at once again, that's quite a long shot, really. It happens like once a year, once or twice a year. So in terms of Liverpool getting beat, it just doesn't happen often. It's the winning side of things that we just, if you can just kind of sort that out for the last 14 games of the season left, you know, we'll make a good run for it, like, but it's tricky.
So in terms of the supercomputer, I mentioned it a little bit earlier on, we don't have, what was it, 538 it used to be, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have that anymore, but, you know, theanalyst.com have come up with a really brilliant sort of graphic for us to just rob. So, yeah, thank you very much, theanalyst.com. We're going to put that on the screen now. You can see Manchester City, according to their supercomputer, have a 67.7% chance of winning the league. Liverpool's has gone down in the last week to 24%. Arsenal's still only 8.2%. Spurs 0.1%, Aston Villa, negligible. Do you find it quite fascinating that the supercomputer is not looking at Arsenal as league winners?
Slightly, yeah.
Because I would have them as more of 1 in 10 chance to win this league now with 14 to go.
Yeah, yeah, so would I. And if you look at Arsenal's numbers as well, in terms of, for me, the performance number that we can look at in the public space is expected goal difference per 90.
Yeah, I've got that highlighted now.
Yeah, well, that basically captures how much better you are than your opposition, performance-wise, in terms of creating shots and not giving much away. It removes goalkeeping level and it removes your finishing. That's just your performance. And in terms of that, Arsenal are the best team in the league, and it's not even that close. That's a fair gap, that, to Manchester City. A lot of it's defensive. Arsenal's defensive work is outstanding, really, but they haven't got the goalkeeper really to pay dividends for that as much. I think they've conceded this, or they had recently conceded the same amount as Liverpool, and I'm sure they still have.
Yeah, one less than us.
Yeah. So that is quite surprising, because these supercomputer stuff, it is usually like based on that sort of thing, like over the next 14 games, what is most likely to happen. And if you look at Arsenal's numbers, they are performing better than the large majority of their opponents, and if that's the case, you should win most of your games.
I think the thing you mentioned that there, probably the interesting sort of thread to pull on there, is the goalkeeper. Yeah. Because, you know, I think Raya's performed okay, but nowhere near the level of, you know, Alisson Becker, for example. I mean, in terms of the goalkeepers, we can get those goalkeeping stats up, can't we? And I'll just see if I can find them now.
Yeah, I've got them here. Like,
probably, yeah. Which, whereabouts are you, mate? Sorry, advanced goalkeeping.
So, advanced goalkeeping, yeah. Arsenal so far, based on the shot that they've faced, they've basically conceded about four goals more than they should have. Doesn't sound like much, but with an average, perfectly normal goalkeeper, they would have conceded four less goals, which would have taken
18 instead of... Oh, they've conceded 22, so yeah, about 18.
Yeah,
goals,
18, yeah.
Which would have had an effect on the points.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a fair few points, to be fair. Liverpool, currently, on average, they've basically conceded as many as you'd expect. But seasons gone by, they typically overperform, and that's because of Alisson being really good. And in terms of the finishing as well, I'm doing this on the fly, but I'd expect the finishing, Arsenal's finishing, to be worse than average. Let's have a look. No, it isn't. That's quite surprising. So Arsenal have actually scored about two or three goals more than you'd expect, which is weird considering the narrative that they can't finish.
Well, funny enough, I had a heated debate on last week's podcast about their finishing and stuff, because I think it was a slightly lazy point of view that, to take the pundit's point of, you know, they're not able to score because the numbers were there to show that they can get the goals. It was the finishing was the problem, I think, but this is obviously skewed by scoring six probably the expected goals of two or something in that game. So that probably has taken it up by, they might have been close to zero.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I've just been thinking that myself.
So thank you, West Ham, for that. Liverpool's is still overperforming. Manchester City's is way overperforming.
Do you know what? They do that every season. Every season under Guardiola. I don't know how, if it's to do with Guardiola being a master of creating tap-ins or something, but every year they score far more than you'd expect. It could also be because they sign the best players, and you've got Erling Haaland up front for you, and Kevin De Bruyne and players like that who were just boss, essentially. But Liverpool have had boss players too, and Liverpool have got boss players now. You know, maybe not when it comes to finishing with Nunes, but City are right up there every season, and it just buys them an extra few points compared to what they deserve, because they can score really difficult shots.
I'm going to take you over to the Big Six Mini League next. I'm going to put the graphic up on the screen now. And in this one, Liverpool have had 7 points from their seven games played against the traditional Big Six.
It's the most, by the way.
Pardon?
Liverpool have played the most.
Yeah.
You know, so that's got to go into it in terms of the last 14 games. We've obviously played our rivals most often.
So Arsenal have got 12 points, averaging 2 points per game. Spurs have got 9 points, averaging 1.5 points per game. Liverpool, 1 point per game. City, 1.2. They've played the fewest. Chelsea, six games, 1 point per game, and Manchester United against the bigger sides, 0.83 points per game. Now, I find this quite fascinating, this sort of Big Six mini league, because I think when you look at Liverpool's there, games played, 7, 1 win, 4 draws, 2 losses. Obviously, both of our losses came against Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspur so far this season in the Premier League, and that's massively affected the points per game. Mm. But the draws, you know, there's quite a lot there. Not enough wins for me compared to the likes of Arsenal. Manchester City is a really interesting one because they've played one less, but I would say that their fixtures that they've got upcoming aren't that bad, apart from coming to Anfield.
Yeah. I think Liverpool as well, to be fair, the Man United game sticks out as a game where we just absolutely battered them, but we just didn't get the goal, really.
Arsenal as well, we should have won.
Yeah, and there's been a few, Spurs, you know, feels like harsh, you know, I think we were on course to do pretty well in that game. We could have got a point with 9 men, we could have took the lead with 10 men, but it just didn't happen for refereeing reasons, which is another thing that comes into this. You know, you're not entirely in control of your own destiny, sadly, because you've got so many, you've got officials kind of impacting proceedings and things like that. So, but in terms of what you can control, all three teams are pretty good at, you know, making the pitch their own and outshooting the opposition by plenty of shots. And when that happens, you don't usually lose games. You usually win most of them. So it'll be interesting to see what comes into play.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, so, in the next couple of weeks.
I'm gonna say, yeah, I've got an Excel sheet there that I made the graphic from, so apologies, it's not really formatted for viewers or anything like that. I'm going to try and zoom in a little bit if I can. I don't know whether I can on this. No, I can't, because it's on a Google Sheets, which is wank. As you can see, Arsenal beat Manchester United at home. They drew with Tottenham. They beat City at home. They drew away to Chelsea. They drew away to Liverpool. And they've beaten us at home. That is a good old, you know, 10 points from their four home games. Obviously, that's where the average of 2.5 comes in. But away from home, they've still got Manchester United. They've still got Tottenham. They've still got Manchester City. That's three pretty tough away games coming into that Big Six Mini League for Arsenal. In terms of Liverpool, we've played the most away games as well. We've done Chelsea away, we've done Tottenham away, we've done City away, and we've done Arsenal away. So we've got Manchester United away, and that is that it? Yeah?
Yeah, it might be.
We've only got Manchester United away. That's a tough game for us, obviously, with the rivalry and everything else, no matter what form Manchester United are in. This is where I think the interesting talking point comes from. City lost to Arsenal away. They beat Manchester United away. They have drawn away at Chelsea in a mad one. Mm. They drew at home to us. I don't know why that says away, that's home, isn't it? And they drew with Tottenham at home. So they've got Arsenal at home, Manchester United at home, and Liverpool away, and Tottenham away.
Yeah. And haven't they got Chelsea up coming, have they? Or was that on a cup or something like that?
They played Chelsea at home away, so they've got Chelsea at home as well.
Yeah, that's
so they've
soon,
got one more of those games. But there's some big games there for Manchester City.
Yeah.
Now the problem I think is that I expect them to batter Tottenham and Manchester United at the Etihad.
I think the thing is with Guardiola, the way in which he plays, it's all about control. It's dominance, you know, that sort of thing. I think it's just generally trickier to contain really good players for 90 minutes, and that's why in those games City just concede a few more counter-attacks and they get punished a bit more. So I think Guardiola's the best at coaching his team to beat the dross.
Yeah.
Whereas when it comes to a team that's about similar level, it's difficult to play as dominant as City do against a good side. That's one of the reasons I think why he hasn't won as many Champions Leagues as he should have, because when he comes up against the boss sides in the latter round at the tournament, you can just get punished in moments. I think those sides are capable of punishing in moments, and we've just got to hope that. But
Tottenham have done well at the Etihad over the years, to be fair.
Yeah,
and Postecoglou lost the Champions League 1 year, didn't he?
Yeah, Postecoglou as well will have a go. You know, he won't just kind of lie down and put 10 behind the ball or whatever. He will attempt to make things happen and that. And I think Klopp has shown over the years that you get benefits from that. If you have a go at City, It's what they don't want, basically.
It is interesting. Like, obviously, I mean, you know, we looked a little bit there at the Big Six Mini League. Do you think Liverpool's form in those games could come back to bite us come the end of the season?
Possibly. But I think I'm right in saying, right, that I think last season, obviously City win the treble. They end up winning the Premier League relatively comfortably. I'm sure they only won three of them games, you know. Something like that, or they finished bottom or something like that. City weren't great last season in terms of beating the sides around them, but because they just beat everyone else, it didn't really come into play too much. So yeah, it's tricky. I think you can take. I think Liverpool taking points off City at Anfield is massive.
Yeah,
I think if we don't do that, we then can't have any expectation for Brighton to go and do it or for Forest to go and do it. You've got to do it yourself to an extent. And I actually think we will, but around that, will we stay in touch with them enough with 14 games left? Hopefully, like, but, and to be fair, they've got Champions League football, Arsenal have got Champions League football, we've got the Europa League, so we could win our knockout games in one leg, potentially. I mean, City could too, but it's just tough with that competition, isn't it? So, so much that comes into it.
What about, obviously, you know, we talked about it before, we looked at the little bit of the FB ref and stuff like that. In terms of, you know, goals for and goals against and expected goals for, do you put anything in expected points, or is that more to do with the expected goal difference than the points?
No, I do, yeah. I think the expected points, it depends on the model, but the expected points generally offers an insight into what the table would look like if every single player in the division was a robot and was exactly the same level of good in terms of like finishing and in terms of saves, making saves. So if a world was fair, this is what the table would look like, and
Liverpool would be third.
Liverpool would be third, but there's
because
not
we're
a big deal in it.
Performing our points. Yeah, that's what it comes down to by 7.63 at the moment.
Yeah,
in terms of Arsenal overperforming, but just
see that looking at that though, that for me lines up with the eye test. I don't think Liverpool look as well coached as Arsenal and City this season for me. And that's what that captures. But we've bridged the gap because we've just got boss individuals. You know, Alisson makes a difference. We've got players you can score from 40 yards out of nowhere. We've got players you can do stuff in moments like a Salah. And that's kind of, and we've got a ridiculous mentality as well, where like if it gets to the 80th minute and it's 1-1, Liverpool just find a way. There's been a few of them games, hasn't there, where like Liverpool have just found a way to win the game. And we've spoken about them on this show. It's like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But it's shown in that table there as to like Liverpool overperforming because of those things. But in terms of the how each team performs, Liverpool are probably the worst of the three while still being really good.
Do you think there's a style of play thing that comes in when we talk about Arsenal and City? Very, very similar styles of play. Coaches who worked under each other and all that type of stuff. But Klopp, just because he coaches completely different, we're not that ball obsessive side.
Yeah.
Do you think when teams just sit back against us, we do struggle more to get the 3 points?
Yeah, I think we do. I think Arsenal do a little bit as well. But I think
the City are used to it. They've had it now for however many years Guardiola's been.
Yeah.
They're not out of their comfort zone when a team sits back, but when Liverpool don't have the counter-attacking options, I always feel it's always going to be a tough afternoon for us.
Yeah,
and we've broken through more often than not this year, but still.
Yeah, I agree. I think Klopp, you know, he's always been a transition coach. That's what made him famous in Dortmund, the gegenpress, the ability to thrive on the break when nothing is settled. He described his own style of play recently as organised chaos. But if the opposition's just sitting there, there's no chaos and there's no opportunities to thrive on the break because they're not moving. So you've got to break them down. So yeah, I do think there's something in that. But then Liverpool do have the individuals to just find a way.
Well, the next question that sort of leads off the back of that then. Jürgen obviously is moving on at the end of the year. Hmm. Would we be better served finding a manager who is ball obsessive and is used to finding angles and ways to get through these teams who sit back? Because I suppose my question is, can you win the league consistently playing what I would perceive maybe as underdog football?
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, definitely. I think to manage a heavyweight side, you know, a favourite who are expected to win the league, you need to be, for the most part, good in possession. And I have a theory that Liverpool kind of hit a ceiling under Klopp, using Klopp's original method, Klopp's original philosophy, and it was about 75 points or so. And I think obviously Liverpool added Van Dijk and Alisson and Fabinho, and they obviously made huge differences as players. But that was also the time where Pep Linders became Klopp's assistant, and he starts taking training sessions. Liverpool suddenly start building from the back. They start being able to break down a block a lot better. Trent starts coming inside at times. You show interest in Thiago. All of that, I think, was to solve the deep block problem. So I think it makes sense for Liverpool to appoint a coach who can dominate a game with the ball and hopefully find openings and is demonstrating that now wherever he's coaching. Like Alonso was doing it with worse players at Leverkusen. De Zerbi is doing it with worse players at Brighton. If you then give De Zerbi Liverpool's players, you know, them finishes, that goalkeeper. But exactly the same style of play. He'll do really well. Because that's why his style of play translates for me. Do you agree, like?
I do, mate. That's why I asked the question. Because, you know, I perceive counter-attacking football as inherently underdog.
Yeah.
You can't do it week in, week out if you are one of the best sides in the world, because teams will just sit and put that low block in and makes it more difficult. So I think what Pep Ljinders has done and Jurgen Klopp has done is adapt brilliantly. But also they're not the gold standard for that style of football.
Mm.
There's other lads out there who are better at that style of football than they are.
Yeah,
Jurgen Klopp's the gold standard for counter-pressing.
Yeah, that's why I think if Liverpool did a point like an Alonso or a De Zerbi, I think for the first 6 months, the players would really feel... Not. This is no slant on what Liverpool are currently doing and saying, because Ljinders is meant to be really, really good. But I do think the players would be really just... Not motivated, I can't think of the right word, but just...
Re-energised, maybe?
A little bit, yeah. You're just learning a completely different approach to the game, almost, by being taught different things and things like that.
Can become a better player for having all of your history under Jurgen Klopp and what you've learned under him, and having something new makes you a better player. It's why tennis players change coaches.
Yeah.
Because after a while, they've learned everything that coach can give after 10 years, so you move on to somebody else.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get to bring Goran Ivanisevic in as your coach, and he takes your game to a different level because he teaches you how to serve better.
Yeah.
And all that type of stuff, and that's it, isn't it? You know, we think about Everton under David Moyes.
I was just going to say that.
They were brilliant at defending.
Mm.
Put Bobby Martinez in there,
and
they became better. Now, a couple of years removed, they forgot how to defend.
Yeah.
But they learned a different style of play and it worked for them. So, yes, it's sad about Jurgen Klopp leaving and all that type of stuff. And we hope that he goes and wins the league for us this season and more, by the way. But let's not forget, Liverpool can still get better.
Yeah.
With the right appointment.
Yeah, we can, yeah. But we might be slightly less entertaining. Because the game, by getting better, you'll probably have more control. Probably be a bit less chaos. Fewer late winners and things like that, but just more control, more of an idea of you know, breaking down a block through passing and things like that. And for the first year as well, you'll still have that Klopp influence of the time. And we've got a lot of transition players, by the way, as well, especially the forwards. They're not particularly possession forwards, aren't they? The kind of like forwards you want to play on the break. So you will get that crossover for a bit, for like a year or something, where we look like a full.
We can do both.
Yeah, do both, yeah. And then we'll move towards more of a controlling style, probably.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up because we got slightly off topic, but it was really interesting. So I've got no quarrels with going off topic there. You've looked at the numbers.
What are you going to say?
Answer the question. The question that hasn't been asked, but you will answer.
It's hard, you know. I think the boring answer is just Man City, isn't it?
Don't be boring. Tell the truth. What do you really feel? In your heart of hearts, what does Josh Williams feel? What is Josh Williams' prediction today, the 13th of February?
City.
Fuck's sake, I knew you were going to say that.
Mm.
City.
Arsenal are the best coached.
Okay.
I think.
But the worst players?
Yeah. Liverpool arguably have the best 11 and the most match winners in there, but they're the worst coached, and they're still very well coached, but then the worst out of the three. City have the blend of the two, and they have the experience and all that stuff, and they have Guardiola too,
so. Yeah. I'm going to say the numbers tell me that Manchester City are going to win the league. The numbers tell me that Liverpool are going to finish second. They don't actually tell me Arsenal are going to finish second, but I'm going to say Liverpool.
No, they don't really.
Well, that does. The supercomputer one does, yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking at on FBref and Unders, that tells me Arsenal are doing really well. I think it's going to finish. I think if you can... The narrative and the story and Jurgen Klopp and everything else, the things that the numbers don't come into,
I agree.
Means Liverpool have a much better chance of winning this league than just what the data's showing me.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at them fixtures, Liverpool have got City at Anfield, last dance and all that stuff. Europa League compared to Champions League comes into it, I think. What the boost Liverpool could get from potentially winning a Carabao Cup comes into it. It's just... and then referees, and it's just football, lad, and it's just a daft sport, mate.
Yeah, it's a daft sport.
What are we doing, eh?
But a sport that, and a football league that Liverpool Football Club are going to win. That's what we've decided today together. I've been Chris Pajak, that's been Josh Williams. You've been fantastic. This has been The Deep Dive. Thank you so much. Like the video and subscribe. To
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.